This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And on this Saturday morning, we join Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you so much. We've got a full house here on the first Saturday in November. And Terry, it is a busy, busy day for the IHSA.
Well, we have a lot of things going on. Of course, the second round of the football playoffs, high school football playoffs for most teams. There were a few games last night. The IHSA State cross-country meet today in Peoria. We've got the Litchfield girls and Carlinville boys teams competing at the state cross-country meet. Girls volleyball super sectionals, so for all classes, are set for today and tonight. And, gosh.
Other than that, not much going on?
Not much going on. It's kind of a boring day.
Tell you what, well, we got a lot to get to. We do want to mention right off the top.
Yes.
There was a high school football team last night that scored 40 points and got blown out and got the running clock put on.
Yeah, so it's Class 5A. Peoria High School beat Decatur Eisenhower 96-40. That's 96. That's 4 points shy of the century mark. 96-40 in a running clock.
Mm. That's ridiculous. That's like 12 or 13 touchdowns, depending on how many two-point conversions
I don't know.
You picked up.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Not a lot of
defense. How do you score 96 points in a ball game?
I really don't know.
In 12-minute quarter, I don't.
We've got Bobby Allen in our studio here, and the Toppers basketball team, of course, has some prolific scores. Think you guys have scored 96 points at any point this year?
I don't think we'll score 96. I don't think Brett will allow them to score 96. I
mean, maybe in two games.
Unless we're winning 96-94. Yeah, I mean, that's just nuts.
It's a staggering amount of points. Last week in the first round of the playoffs, Carlinville put up a big number. They put 76 on Wood River back in the opening round, and the Cavaliers into the second round of the postseason for the fifth consecutive year. And joining us on the phone right now is their head coach, Chad East, today. And Chad, we were just mentioning that last night, a final score 96-40. As a football coach, what would you do if your team gave up 96 points in one game?
Obviously, we're going to need to work on some defense in the offseason, I guess, would be the first thing. I don't know. We were talking about that this morning, drinking coffee and eating a little breakfast. But I wasn't at the game, and it's hard to tell. A couple years ago, you guys had the game. It was 40-40 with Roxana at the halftime.
Yeah.
So, if both teams were not playing a lot of defense and scoring some points early and then one team figures something out, it's not uncommon. I mean, it definitely is shocking, but I could run some case scenarios that you could get that high, I think, because with the running clock, you wouldn't think that would be possible.
No, it definitely catches your attention, no doubt about that.
Yeah, it does.
Chad, what a big-time game the Cavaliers have today. Williamsville coming into town, and you talk about two elite programs squaring off. We got it this afternoon.
Yeah, it should be a great, fun atmosphere. I think, as you just pointed out, both teams are very similar in a lot of aspects of the game, both with kicking, running, their ability, offense, defense, philosophies type things. So, it's kind of weird. Coach Kuntz and I have talked over the past 6-7 years since I've been the head coach. We've never crossed paths, so which is kind of weird. We do a lot of clinics together and are good friends. So, it's going to be fun today.
And, Chad, as I look at this game, a couple of keys for you guys, your offensive line play and the ability to get Jace Franklin on the ground.
Well, we're going to go with the second one first. That's a topic of conversation all week long. We've played some great running backs throughout the years, and you're exactly correct. You got to get him pinned in. It's sort of like holding a score in basketball. We're okay with him running for 150, 180 yards, but we don't want them on big chunks, and we want that to be his end result at the end of fourth quarter, not the first quarter, so to speak. So, we've talked about those things defensively on how to make sure that we're in our right lanes and that sort of stuff. And anyway, and then the other thing is, I think you're correct. We got to play well up front on both sides of the football. We got to be able to run the football a little bit. I think we got to keep them off balance in some things. And hopefully, we have had a season that we're prepared to do those sorts of things.
Well, this is where your senior experience leads the way.
Yeah, you are correct. I mean, the 15 of them have had a pretty big goal since the start of the season, including with myself. And we've been in these situations before, and very happy that this one's at home. We've never experienced that before, so there are a lot of things that hopefully will go well for us today.
Well, you guys have, the last few years, have wound up on the road in the second round just because of the way the upsets happen. So I would imagine the home game today, not only big for you guys, but for the fans as well.
Yeah, we travel well to begin with, so I can only imagine with a home game what it was going to be like. And I know Williamsville, like you said, the tradition there. So, you know, there may be, you know, 6-7 people show up today to watch, so hopefully it'll be a great atmosphere.
6 or 7 people, right.
Yeah, just 6 or 7.
Yeah,
yeah. You know,
well, you better send them out and charge them double when they come through the second time. So
I guess so. Well, it's kind of funny because my wife asked me, she goes, I'm going to be standing in my normal spot. And I said, okay. You know, and I'm like, where's that spot at? She goes, well, you don't. I said, no, I normally don't know where you are. So, you know, it's funny. Somebody asked about the crowds. And that. I know, Terry, I'm terrible. When I walk on the field, I tell our kids, you know, and I try to practice what I preach. You know, when that kickoff happens, you know, your focus is very narrow-minded for those 3 hours, okay? Yeah. I mean, the world could crumble down, and we want to play football, and we'll worry about the rest when the time comes. And, you know, but anyway, I hope it's going to be great. I think it'll be great weather for a second round. You know, Coach Kutz and I talked again about that. You know, we've played in windy, cold, wet conditions, and none of those things are going to be a factor today. So hopefully it should be a great ball game.
Chad, speaking of the world crumbling down, the Cubs won the World Series. I don't know if you heard.
Well, I am a Cubs fan.
I know this.
So yes, I did hear that they might have won. So anyway, that's kind of cool as well.
You and Mr. Borgini had a little smile on your face, I bet, the next day.
Yes, that's correct. He's more of a diehard than I am. I'm a Cubs fan by default, I guess is how you say it. But, you know, I was happy to see it. And, you know, that's one of those great things in sports, I think. You know, I watch it all. I try to like all sports, and what a great feeling for them. And I watched a little bit of the parade last night on Sports Center, that whole atmosphere. So it's cool.
Cool stuff. Chad, one last question for you. I noticed last week after your win, your players gave Quinn Steiner a Gatorade bath. What did he do to earn that?
Well, it's kind of an outstanding, you know, I got nailed with this about 6-7 years ago, and I've been very adamant to my players that, you know, I'm not into those sorts of things. One, I'm a wimp when it comes to cold weather, so I don't want to be wet to begin with. So I guess they got me, I don't know, senior night, and I guess Coach Steiner had dodged the bullet that night, week 9. So I guess, I purposely was standing at the other end of the box, so I guess it was his turn last Friday night. So, you know, you gotta love and hate kids all rolled up in the same. That's what I told them when they got me on Friday night. I said, it's gonna be a long Monday practice for you boys. I said, remember who controls the whistle when we can do this. So.
That's exactly right. Chad Easton, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time on this game day morning, and best of luck this afternoon, sir.
Thanks very much.
All right, Carlinville hosting Williamsville. 3 o'clock kick. We'll have live coverage 2:45 today here on FM 106.
Quinn Steiner, one of the greatest athletes that ever went through Carlinville High School, could play any sport and play any sport well.
And that's a statement. I mean, you think about the different styles and quality of athletes that have gone through Carlinville. To be on the short list of the best ever in that school, that is fantastic.
That guy was a gamer. He was a gamer.
And he's coached about everything at Carlinville,
yes,
too.
Yes, he has. So, good guy. Good guy.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will hopefully catch up with North Mac head coach Shane Owsley. They are headed down south to Anna Jonesboro. Tough draw, long trip. Hopefully we'll catch up with Coach Owsley following these messages.
9:15 on this Saturday morning. Now back to Sports Saturday, and we join Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you so much. And we have a couple of special guests
in
studio this morning.
Bob Allen, his son Jared, joining us in studio. We have professional wrestling coming to Hillsborough High School tonight. A chance to relive those memories, just like watching wrestling at the Chase. Right, Bob Allen?
That's right. You know, I watch wrestling at the Chase every Sunday morning when I was a kid.
Yeah. And,
seeing my son involved in it is actually pretty cool.
How did you get involved in this, Jared?
When I was about 16, I met my friend Derek Moss, who is the PWA Regional Heavyweight Champion right now, as a matter of fact.
PWA standing for?
Pinfall Wrestling Association. Okay. That will be the company at the high school tonight. And he was doing it, and I thought it was a little weird. I'd watched it, never really thought about doing it. And then I went to one of his shows in September of 2014 and really saw how much he loved it, how entertaining it was, how much the fans loved it. And then I heard that there was a school in Springfield. So in January of 2015, that was when I started training to do so.
So that you got a special show coming up tonight, which is going to be a fundraiser for the high school baseball team for the Hilltopper baseball team, right?
Yes, okay. And I had gone to a couple of Jared's shows and really fell in love with his new persona, Cardini. And they put on a great show, and it's really family-friendly, and, you know, you're not going to get the blading and all the things that you get in the WWE. It's a fun show, and they're really good. I mean, it's entertainment. Everybody knows that, and I know professional wrestling is actually pretty popular among the teens and adults around here, and hopefully we can get a good turnout for the baseball team, and we're going to have 50-50 tickets. The tickets itself are $10 at the door, $6 for kids. Anybody under 5 is free. We're going to have concessions there, and six matches, including two championship matches. So, in fact, Cardini and his partner here will be wrestling for the tag team championship tonight. So
cool.
We'll see what happens.
Excellent. We'll be talking with the Allens about the wrestling taking place at Hillsborough Hill throughout the hour. We want to switch gears back now to high school playoff football. And joining us right now is North Mac head coach Shane Owsley. And coach, are you guys on the road yet?
We are. We are headed down there now. We left about 8 o'clock.
All right. Did you guys rent a bus?
We did. So we are riding in much more comfort than what we normally do.
Yeah, a school bus ride down to Anna, that's almost unacceptable.
Yeah, I don't think we could have swung that one. That would have been pretty rough. I would have preferred we go down that night before and hopefully get a nice, good night's rest.
That would have been like traveling in a Conestoga wagon or something like that. You know?
Right, and yeah. The booster took very good care of us, so we are riding much more comfortably than what, like I said, we usually do.
Very good. Shane, we always talk about throughout the football playoffs, it's all about the draw. And unfortunately for you guys, there was only two upsets in the entire 3A bracket, but one of them was Anna Jonesboro beating Fairfield, which puts you on the road this week.
It does, and again, it is something, again, you know, prior to the playoffs starting, one of my big complaints was that it seemed like you're often playing teams that are in your own conference. So, you know, I would much rather take a four-hour bus ride than play somebody that we'd already seen in the regular season. So we get to go down to you know, very, very down south, you know, Illinois to play a team that we haven't seen, and you know, there's a possibility that we may head to Mount Carmel next week if we're lucky enough to advance, and they are too. So we get to you know, kind of take the North Mac show all over the state of Illinois, and hopefully we are pleased with our results.
And that is one of the neat things about the playoffs, to where you get to travel and go to a place in the state where you might never be again.
Well, and again, that's something that I think the playoffs should be all about. You know, it was unfortunate before, you know, last season we played Pleasant Plains in the first round, and again, there's kind of a conference pride amongst the Sangamo and the Sangamo coaches that we want to prove that we are one of the best conferences in the state. And when you're constantly playing each other, you can't do that. So, you know, we're pretty fortunate. We've got Maroa down in southern Illinois. We've got Williamsville coming to Carlinville, and we're coming to Anna. So, you know, there's a possibility that we're going to find out exactly where the Sangamo stands throughout the state.
Shane, last week you faced a Beardstown team, and really Beardstown was overmatched, but they were a spirited team, and you could see that they've got some good things happening in that program.
They do for sure, and you know, it was a situation where, you know, that they're on the uprise. They are very underclassmen dominant, and it was a group that we saw on film that we knew no matter what we did, they weren't going to give up, and they were going to play four quarters. So again, another team that we hadn't seen, and it was nice to play a quality opponent round one at our place. And you know, as we go down to Anna, the offense that Anna runs is very similar to what Beardstown does. So it was a good preparation game for what we have this week.
Well, I was going to ask you, Shane, when you looked at AJ on tape, what did you see in terms of their style?
Oh, they're very big. You know, most of the time, you know, as North Mac, we've been the bigger team when we're playing, when it comes to the line and the linebackers, those type of things. And it looks like we're going to run into a team that's just as big as us, which will be new for us. And like I said, they do run a lot of the double wing, and they run beer and option, some of the stuff that we saw last week. The only difference was is Beardstown had a speedster that they were trying to get the ball to, where AJ kind of focuses on getting the ball to their fullback and you know, kind of get it 3 or 4 yards at a time.
Shane Owsley, the head coach of the North Mac Panthers, joining us here on Sports Saturday as they have begun their trek down to Anna Jonesboro for their second-round playoff game. And, Shane, as you look at this matchup here, what is it that you want to see from your club today, besides obviously getting the W?
Well, I think that just constant improvement. That's something that, you know, that we kind of talked about yesterday during our pregame meal, is that we haven't played a full four quarters yet this season. So, you know, we're very fortunate to have a pretty good record headed down to southern Illinois, but we haven't put four quarters together. And as we're going through the playoffs and as we advance, or hopefully advance today, it's going to be a situation where two quarters or three quarters isn't going to get it done and expect to play the next week. So hopefully we can go down here. We can kind of build on a pretty good game that we had last week, play four full quarters, and kind of see where that leads us.
All right. Shane Owsley, best of luck this afternoon, sir, against Anna Jonesboro. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right, Shane Owsley and the North Mac Panthers headed down south. They will kick at 2:30. We'll have live coverage 2:15 on WSMI AM 1540, FM 106.9. We'll stream that game at WSMIRadio.com.
And when you head south to Anna Jonesboro, talking about meeting bigger teams, it's Southern Illinois football is a little bit different.
It is.
You're always going to run into the bigger, you know, guys as big as you, if not bigger, and the tradition there is just a little bit different.
Oh, no.
They take it really, really serious.
It's
really, really serious.
It's not Texas serious,
but it's serious.
It's a different level than the rest of the state.
Yeah. I've been to AJ before for a playoff game.
Me too.
You have too. And
I went down there for Staunton a number of years ago.
I don't even remember who it was, but I remember going.
I just remember being down there, and we got down there way before the game. And I was standing in line to get...
I tell you what, they fed you.
Oh, it was ridiculous.
Time.
I had my WISME shirt on,
yep.
And I'm standing there waiting in line. The next thing I know, I just got a microphone shoved right in my face. And they've got like a roving reporter. They're doing like a 3-hour pregame show down there. And this guy's walking through the crowd just looking for people to talk. He's like, hey, you the Staunton guy? Yeah. So we start just interviewing me live on the spot right there, and which is fine. But then he says, how long did it take you to get here? I said, oh, boy. I said, I don't know. About two and a half hours. Oh, you were speeding. All right. Appreciate you throwing me right under the bus, but... Yes, we were speeding. You are right. Because that is a long, long trip. Long trip. No good way to get there.
No, it's no easy way to get there. But like you said, it's a chance to get on the road, see a team that you haven't seen. So,
but if they can bring that W back, it doesn't matter.
Well, in the game right above them in the bracket, you've got Mount Carmel and Tolono Unity. And you know, Tolono Unity may be a number 10 seed, but they're really not a number 10 seed.
Of course, they beat North Mac last year in the second round.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes be careful what you wish for. Shane Elsie said, we don't want to play any Sangamo teams. Okay. Here you go.
Yeah. So
we'll see. But I'll tell you this. North Mac, seeing them throughout the year, they are legit.
They've got so many different weapons.
They do.
They really have, you know, Asa Donaldson had a great game last week for one. And, you know, my gosh. I'd throw that ball. That kid could catch stuff.
He does it all.
Unbelievable. Yeah, he's amazing. Yeah. So they've got weapons to use, and they play pretty good defense. I mean, they even Beardstown, they were outmanned Beardstown, but Beardstown kind of pushed him a couple times, and the defense came up big. So we'll see. That's 2:30 kickoff, 2:15 pregame on the AM.
That's right. So then we'll have Carlinville Williamsville here on FM 106. They will kick at 3 pregame at 2:45. We need to get to a break. When we come back, more wrestling. Big night at Hillsboro, and we'll do a little turnbuckle talk following these messages.
9:26 on this Saturday morning. Now back to Sports Saturday, and we join Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
That's right. Good morning, and welcome to Sports Saturday. We are talking professional wrestling now. We have Bob Allen and his son Jared in here, and professional wrestling at Hillsboro High School tonight. Doors open at
6:30, okay. And all the tickets are at the door. There was no pre-sale, so the show's supposed to start at 7 o'clock, but if we don't get the entire crowd in by 7 o'clock, they'll hang on and until we get everybody in there, and we'll have a blast.
Jared, you told us how you kind of got interested in this sort of thing, the training regimen you had to go through, because this is an entertainment athletic event, so there's some showmanship with it, but the actual training, the physical training, this is the real deal. I mean, you had to go through some training that probably drove you crazy.
It did. It's legit stuff. You know, one of the things that bothers me the most is when people say that wrestling is completely fake, because wrestling is not completely fake. You know, there's the predetermined stuff, there's the stuff that we plan out, but the training, it's tough.
Yeah.
I trained for 9 months before I even had my first match, because there's that much stuff to go through. You got to learn how to be safe so you don't hurt people, for real. I mean,
well,
or yourself.
Well, you guys, you know, this is your job. This is your job, and you don't want to put anybody out of a job.
Right.
I mean, you have to respect them for that.
But even like it is, you know, we'll use the word choreographed, but to make that stuff look as real as it does, that is practice and work.
It is, and the best experience is learning from your shows. If you watch me from when I debuted a year ago in September of 15 to what I do now, it's totally different. And if you look at me 4 months into training versus the end of my training or what I do now, it's just a lot cleaner. I mean, I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. Oh, and you don't want to put people out of a job. You said at this point, you don't really be an independent professional wrestler to have a, to make money. That takes a lot of time, a lot of patience, and getting your foot in the door in places. I still have to work, obviously. I would love wrestling to be my career, but, you know, I'm only a year into it. I'm only 22 compared to some of these guys that I hang around with in the locker room. I got time.
And I've said for years on this particular show that some of the world's greatest actors and athletes combined are professional wrestlers because they entertain so many people and are able to do so many things, you know, athletically. It's incredible.
I think that's absolutely true. I think the greatest example of that would be Dwayne Johnson, obviously, mm-hmm. The Rock. He's incredibly athletic. I think he's a good actor. I know some people don't like him.
I think he's a good actor.
Yeah. Oh,
I like his movies anyway.
You know, they're easy to watch. Yeah. They are. You know,
entertains me. And you know, one thing about him, you see the way he looks, how big he is, and everything. He trains just as hard for all of his acting as he would as a professional wrestler. And back to the training, like I was telling you guys earlier off the air, I was ready to quit 3 months in. It was taking a toll on my body. The first 3 months I was, you know.
You were hurting.
I was sore. The first time I learned how to bump, which is the term we use for learning how to safely fall in the ring, I was sore for a long time. And, you know, calisthenics, we do a lot of squatting, a lot of leg work, because a lot of core work. And, you know, the abs and the legs were really hurting. And one thing that really hurts you that you wouldn't think about is just running off the ropes when people run back and forth. That hurts. You get used to it eventually, but when you're learning, it does not feel good.
Well, we just saw a video of one of your workout routines, and that was just stupid. That was ridiculous. You know, how do you do that?
It hurt just to look at it, Jared. God. I'm telling you, man. It hurt.
Obviously, now I'm not that small, but at that point, I had dropped 50 pounds in the original training program. And, you know, now, not unfortunately, but unfortunately, school is consuming my life right now because I'm closing in on my senior year of college. And it's really difficult to get from Jacksonville to Auburn because the training facility moved to Auburn to train 3 days a week. But it's still operating. We're always looking for new students, new referees, new valets, anything.
How do you go ahead, Kevin?
Oh, I was going to say, your name is the Great Cardini, is that right?
Yeah, that was me and my partner Hatta. We are called the Carnival. We're a very popular tag team in PWA.
Now, are you villains or good guys?
Depends on the venue, right?
You know, we're supposed to be bad guys, but we're pretty much good guys. No matter what we do, we pretty much get cheered by at least 80% of the crowd.
That has to be a pretty exhilarating feeling, I would think, to be doing what you're doing and have the crowd going nuts like that.
Yeah, I tell you, I was, when I stopped training, or when I, not when I stopped training, when I finished the original program, I had finished because I paid for it and I wanted to get my money's worth. And I really didn't know if I wanted to go through with this because I was sore, I was tired, it was beating me down. And then the first time I walked through the curtain at Lanphier, it's hard to describe. It was amazing.
You goosebumps?
I was nervous. I was just, there was no other feeling like it in the world, I don't think.
But as an athlete, you're nervous, but once the contest gets going, that's gone.
Yeah, you know, for the nervousness, I don't think ever goes away, especially for your bigger matches, bigger events. Whatever, but yeah, basically, once that bell rings, all bets are off. Mm-hmm. You know, it's you and your opponents, and you got to make sure you're entertaining the crowd, and that's how it goes.
Now, if this is giving away a trade secret, by all means, just say so and don't answer the question. But when you're in the match, is there communication with your opponents, like for certain aspects to make sure that they're ready for maybe a hit that could be coming or stuff like that? Or, and if you don't want to answer it, don't answer it.
I could put it this way. There's heavy communication. There has to be a lot of communication in every aspect of a wrestling event.
The subtle nonverbal communication.
Well, you have to remember it's a theatrical presentation, and as if you were doing a Shakespearean play on stage, there has to be communication, and everybody has to know their spot, has to know their lines, has to know their action, has to hit their marks, so to speak.
Yeah, but you don't got to worry about Macbeth flying off the top turnbuckle.
Well, but it's just it's a different type of performance, but it's still a performance, and you have to be extremely athletic in order to do it.
And unfortunately, if they're not spot on, and that's how people get hurt. Yeah. And that's the only thing I really worry about him. I mean, I've seen wrestling injuries happen in the WWE and stuff like that. But, I mean, he's awesome to watch, and I enjoy watching. I talk to everybody about his character because his character is great. Even though they're supposed to be bad guys, everybody loves him. The kids love him. The kids want autographs. The kids want pictures with him. My 10-year-old's coming in his face paint tonight because he likes him so much. So it's quite a unique experience. And, you know, like he said, if you're not technically spot on, that's where the injuries come.
And, Bob, you've seen injuries in other sports. I mean, this is a sport, and this also combines theatrics with it. So, you know, injuries are part of the game.
Right,
they
right.
Really are.
Injuries are part of the game. And, I mean, I know there's times where he wrestles and he comes out feeling pretty sore, but he answers the bell every time. I'm pretty proud of him.
How often do you get a chance to do this?
I
put on this theatrical type, the actual performances.
So I went from when I debuted to basically doing it from once a month, and now I do it almost every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've had a show the last, like, 13 or 14 weeks, something crazy. I'm traveling a lot. I've been traveling a lot. I've expanded from Springfield, and the farthest I've gone is 8 hours north to Rice Lake, Wisconsin. I've been insanely lucky to have an opportunity to get my foot in the door of the NWA, because I wrestled down at NWA Mid-South in Dyersburg, Tennessee. And I'll tell you, Tennessee wrestling it was something, man. It's
what's different?
Everywhere the crowd, mainly the crowd, the whole experience, it was a completely different setup. The crowd, basically, wherever you go, the farther you travel, the crowd's going to change how involved they are. Not to say that my typical Springfield crowd isn't involved, because they are, but Tennessee crowds are hot. They don't
passionate.
Yeah, they really don't. They actually don't like me.
Well, hey, legitimate bad guy.
Isn't that the emotion you're supposed to evoke?
Yeah, and,
right. As an actor portraying a villain in a movie or a show, that's.
Yeah. I love getting booed.
Sound like Al Roboski.
And Al's got no trouble getting booed, believe you me.
Neither does Mike Matheny.
We don't have enough show to get into Mike Matheny, unfortunately. How did the PWA come to have this event at Hillsboro? How did this come about?
Well, I went and watched Jared at a show. Really enjoyed it, and I saw how much my young son enjoyed it, and so I kind of
first time there, right?
Maybe. Yeah, it was our first time there, and it was at Lanphier. It was a Grand Spectacle 7.
Yep,
Grand Spectacle 7 at Lanphier, and you know, they were in a three-way tag match, and my son, my youngest son Luke, was just enthralled with it. I mean, he was screaming at the people that were hitting Jared and everything else, and Jared dove through the ropes right at us and plowed a guy on the floor, and Luke was talking smack to the guy on the floor. So I started watching the other kids and the adults, and I tell you what, I mean, whether you're a wrestling fan or not, you will be after you watch this show. It's amazing to watch these guys, and like you said, it's theatrics, but they are so athletic. And the thing, you know, like, that's why I worry. I watch some of the stuff he does, and I'm like, how the heck did he just do that? Because there is no way in God's green earth that I would try to do something.
And
like
when
that.
You see something like this on TV or on video versus being in real life, the speed of the action is increased tenfold in real life, because it just, you know, when you're sitting right next to the ring, things are going at the blink of an eye. It's just crazy.
Well, one thing I want to mention, every time I go to a show, I have him reserve me a front row seat right by the ring because that's where I want to be, and I see everything, and you'd think that you'd see misses and stuff like that because they're just not technically that great. You watch these PWA guys, they don't miss. You don't see it as theatrics because they're very good at what they do. And so it's not like you're going to see some bad wrestling where, you know, somebody totally misses and everything else. The only missing that goes on is maybe getting hit too hard.
You know, there's companies around here and plenty of other companies around the country that are what we call yarder feds, who are untrained, unprofessional.
What are they called?
The yarder feds.
Yarder.
Yep. Straight out the backyard.
Yeah.
You know, they make rings out of plywood and mattresses.
I've seen those guys. They jump off their roof on YouTube videos.
Yeah.
And break tables, you know, and break backs, and
they give bad names to independent wrestling sometimes. But you know, when you come to see PWA, it's a high quality show. It is every time. The wrestling is always going to be high quality, and it's entertaining.
How many matches will be on the card tonight?
I believe there will be six. Yeah, that's about a typical show. It'll probably run about 2 or 3 hours.
It's six matches, two championship matches, a tag team championship between the Carnival and AEOU, which stands for All Eyes on Us, a couple guys that think they're the best looking thing since sliced bread.
Which wasn't around the last time the Cubs won the World Series, by the way. That's fact.
Hey, you know, I was telling Paige and Brent, you know, everybody needs to experience that once in a lifetime. I mean, I've seen four, and I'm only 50, so, you know, if you're going to get one every 108 years, you might as well get the spare. I feel so good for the Springer's grandma because, you know, 99 years old, she finally saw a first cut. So even though I'm a huge Cardinal fan, it's cool. It was cool to see that. But back to wrestling, and then we're going to have a regional heavyweight championship match between champion Derek Moss, who's one of Jared's better friends, and one of his trainers, Bradley Stevens, the third. And
don't forget the third.
Because you don't want to forget that. But it'll be a fun night. All the matches I've put on the Hillsboro baseball page so people know. Like I said, the PWA won't start, even though it's supposed to start at 7 o'clock. If we don't have everybody in, we'll wait. It's no big deal. We're hoping for a big crowd. And, you know, like it's a fundraiser for the baseball team. And so Hillsboro usually is pretty good about that.
Jared, how do you mesh preparation for this along with school? How difficult, isn't it?
It is. Well, right now my working hours are 1 a.m. to 6:30 a.m. And I... usually what my plan is for the day is to leave work or go to work, get up, go to work, leave work, go straight to the gym, and then go straight to school till 4 o'clock that night and then basically get home and go to bed.
Okay.
And then, like I said, I don't have a ton of time to get out to the training center, and that really sucks, honestly, because it helps me keep my stuff sharp out there.
So basically you study, you sleep,
you
work. Train. You work and you eat.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a hard working kid. He works he works for UPS as a route supervisor, and then he gets up, goes to school, and then, you know, and finds time to train and work out between that. And
Then we drag your butt in here on the sports show on Saturday morning when you could be sleeping.
Well, you know, the sad part is that I got up at 6:30 a.m. and that's still extra hours of sleep for me.
Oh man.
Wow.
Oh man. Wow. So. Guys, really appreciate you coming in this morning. Again, the details on tonight. How do people get the tickets, and when do they show up?
Show up at 6:30 and just start walking in the door. And a couple of my fine baseball assistant coaches will be there taking money, and we'll have 50-50 tickets roaming around. We'll have chips and popcorn and soda and candy and some great, great wrestling. And, you know, it's always good to see my son. I'll have my youngest son in the crowd, and, you know, a lot of his family will be there because it'll be a good chance to see him since he's in town. And he puts on a great show. You'll really like it.
Sounds like a blast.
Absolutely. It'll be a good time.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much for coming in. Best of luck tonight, and I know everyone's going to enjoy the show.
Thank you very much, guys. I've had a great time being here.
Yeah, thanks. And come visit us again.
Okay. Anytime.
Yeah. All right.
In character, maybe.
Well, there you go.
Well, he asked if he had to have a space paint, and I said, no, they won't see it on radio, so they'll be all right.
That's space is for radio.
Exactly. A room full of them right now.
I said, thank God. You know, when I went, I got a little story, I guess. We had a rental car crisis, and when we went to that Wisconsin show I mentioned earlier, and we got out of town out of Springfield 3 hours late, and it was an eight-hour drive, showed up to the venue 20 minutes before bell time, and that is a disaster for me because I have a lot. It takes me probably about hour and a half to get ready every show just because of all the stuff I got to put on and make sure the whole day's preparation because, you know, if I forget something, I'm
somebody
screwed.
Gets hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing.
And now I'm just picturing you, like, running out of this car, like, 20 minutes before, like, in costume, just freaking everyone out as they scatter away.
Like, what? Who's this?
What's happened?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Hey, you're one of them wrestlers, aren't you?
Wrestling tonight at Hillsboro High School. Doors open at 6:30. Get out and see the show.
Thanks for coming, dude. We appreciate it.
We're back with more in a moment.
9:47 on this Saturday morning. Now back to Sports Saturday, and we join Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you very much. We really appreciate the Islands coming.
That was
good stuff.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And if you get a chance, get to Hillsboro High School tonight and enjoy a professional wrestling. So
that's right. Doors open at 6:30, show's at 7, and as Bobby said, they won't start the show till everybody's inside.
Yeah, that's great. And
I would anticipate a big crowd.
I would think there would be a big crowd, and you know, it's okay to hoop and holler and go crazy, folks, go crazy.
Exactly,
you know,
right. I think
have
they
a fun
probably
time,
will.
And they probably will. They probably will.
It's going to be a lot of hooping and hollering across the state today, of course, as the second round of the football playoffs will get underway. There was just one game in 3A last night, and it was of local interest as Newton ended the season of the Paint of Panthers. I think 35-13 was the final of that ball game. So the Carlinville Cavaliers, the last South Central team standing in the 2016 postseason.
Yeah. The Sangamo still has, what, three?
Well, they've got North Mac.
North Mac.
They got Marrora. They got Williamsville, and they got Athens.
And Athens, that's right.
Oh, so four,
teams
going.
They were 4-4 last week.
Yeah.
Who's Athens playing this weekend?
Oh.
They're in the 1A playoffs.
Right.
Playoffs. For
the
first time in a while.
They are playing at home against Decatur St. Teresa.
Mm.
So St. T's the number 2 seed. Athens the number 10. So.
Deceptive number 10 seed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of the Sangamo South Central matchups in this round of the playoffs the last number of years. And the Williamsville Carnival game today, I think, has the potential to be the best of all of them. They always talk about styles make fights. Yeah. Well, it's going to be a heck of a fight today because these two teams, I mean, they are in some ways mirror images of each other with the way they play the game of football.
They do. They and you know, and they have the long-standing traditions of successful football. So you're talking not only about this year's team, you're talking about the legacy of Williamsville football and the legacy of Carlinville football on the line.
I looked it up. Coming in to this year, so not counting the games this year, and they're both 9-1. Since 2000, Carlinville's won 117 regular season games. Williamsville's won 113.
How about that?
And of course, Williamsville's had a little bit more playoff success as the Cavies looking for the first quarterfinal appearance, believe this or not, since 2001.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time.
It is. That
for
is
a program like Carlinville not to be past the second round of the postseason.
And, you know, just, I think it goes to show how good high school football can be here in central Illinois, in the central part of the state. No matter what conference you're from, there are some very high quality teams in this 3A bracket, especially the bottom half of the bracket was just absolutely loaded.
Of course, the second round is the Sweet 16. 8 of the 16 teams in the 3A bracket are undefeated.
Mm-hmm. And as coaches predicted 2 weeks ago, there were going to be some 8-1s match up in the opening round, and that's exactly what happened.
The top half of the 3A bracket has two games featuring 10-0 teams.
Yeah.
Two games.
How about that? So, football rolls on, and now you're getting down to a lot of different factors. You know, you're playing your 10th week of the season. 11th week of the season, actually. You've already played 10 weeks. You know, everybody's banged up a little bit. Fortunately, today, the weather's going to be great, but, you know, the further you go into the season, the more likely you're going to run into a not so great day. Just little things that kind of add up sometimes, and
little things within the game become magnified. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, a motion penalty takes you from third and two to third and seven.
Maybe punting into the wind where you don't get, you know, the carry on the ball, and you end up giving good field position to the opposition. Things like that, that, you know, just little things, but they all add up towards either a win or a defeat.
So. Yeah, the little things become big things.
Yes, they do.
This time of year. So lots of great football games across the state today, but also many other things going on, and we've got some local teams in the cross-country state tournament.
Yes, the Litchfield girls team and the Carlinville boys team in the cross-country, and they're getting underway in Peoria. The girls team has Brianna Travis, Maddie Throne, Alexis Throne, Caroline Corton, Jordan Brandt, Ellie Holland, and Brittany Comer. And in the boys Carlinville team, Samuel Mock, Bailey Lippold, Jason Landon, Charles Helton, Grayson Armour, Kale Williams, Briley Roper, all members of the team that came out of the sectional tournament. Also, Claudia Magnuson, who's been a terrific runner, competing as an individual from Pena High School. So we wish them all the very best of luck.
Has she been to the state tournament
every year?
Every year. Yeah,
every
year.
Every year. So, Mont Olive Wildcats, volleyball team bowed out of the sectional tournament, but the Cats had a terrific season, 26-6, making it to the sectional championship game. And boy, that group of athletes from Mont Olive, you know, that's a kind of a once in a generation group of athletes that comes along sometimes in small schools.
The group is good.
Yeah.
Jill Niehaus is great. She really needs to be in the conversation of some of the greatest female athletes this area has ever seen.
I agree with you. Yeah. She is just so athletic and so skilled at many different things. You know, terrific season. Sorry it had to end. Now they'll get ready for basketball season, and we'll see how well they do this year.
See if they can bring home that county championship.
Yes, sir. That's what they've got their eyes on. And you know what? In a blink of an eye, that darn county tournament will be here before we know it. So
we'll have our first girls basketball game coming up on November 15th.
Yep. It'll be a week from election night.
Which thankfully is almost here.
Coming up Tuesday, yeah. Ooh. Yeah, so...
Speaking of basketball, in a couple weeks, 2 weeks from today, we'll have a special show here on Sports Saturday. We'll have Drew Logan and Joe Vanzo in studio.
Okay, very good.
Litchfield and Hillsborough boys basketball coaches.
So, of course, we had Bobby Allen in this morning as well, but he's on the Topper girls staff. And, boys and girls basketball for Hillsborough this year set up to have monster seasons.
Could be a lot of...
A lot of W's.
You read the reports, and it sounds like a Topper boys basketball player, Donovan Moore, has had a pretty good off season. He's been training, and he's done really well. So it could be a breakthrough year for him.
Donovan as a freshman last year.
Pretty special.
Was pretty special.
I tell you what, by regional time, he didn't look like no freshman.
No, he did not. He can. He can put on a show.
He can. And of course, on the girls' side, Sammy Matush never looked like a freshman at any point. No. The big issue for Sammy this year will be the health of that knee.
Yeah. Well, and you know, things have changed now. Seniors have graduated, and it's a whole different chemistry now. You know,
they will miss Carly Cameron in a big way.
Oh, they will miss Carly Cameron. Carly Cameron was steady. Day in, day out, night in, night out. But, you know, it's an opportunity for somebody else to step up. But still, the talent's there. I think we're going to see some fun basketball this year across the area. So,
of course, the Topper boys back in the Carlinville Holiday Tournament this year, which is exciting.
Yeah, that's good for Central Illinois and good for the Carlinville Holiday Basketball Tournament. And, the Toppers, I think there's a couple of games that they've maybe upgraded their schedule a little bit with, and they know they've got some talent. So, and Joe Vanzo does a great job.
Fantastic.
You know. Yeah, he's really, he's got such a positive outlook on things, and you really have to appreciate. You know, he preached patience for a while, and, you know, you have to be patient. Things are, you know, going to fall in place, and they are falling into place. So, And so, Dave saw Dylan Miller last night.
I did. I saw him at one of the restaurants in Hillsboro. So. Unexpected. Would have liked to have asked him to come in this morning. However, he was in the middle of family dinner, so I didn't bother him. So yeah.
You didn't walk up and harass him?
No, I did not.
No.
A little bit taller than I am, too.
Just a smidge.
Just a little bit.
Just a smidge. Of course, he'll be getting his sophomore season for North Dakota State underway.
They've already started playing some exhibition games, I believe. Yeah. So.
And our first Illini broadcast on the Ox for basketball is on Veterans Day, November 11th. So that's when our coverage starts on WAOS.
They're playing SEMO State, I think, is who they're playing.
The Illini have Michigan State for in football today at in about 4 minutes. So
that won't go well.
Patience.
You got to have
Lovey's,
patience.
Lovey's preaching patience. Patience, you know. Lovey's got to get his guys in there.
And he doesn't
for the Illini football program to even have a chance.
And
he's
got to
get his guys in there.
He doesn't have any of his guys because he signed so late.
Yeah.
So he's pretty much working in-house players right now.
That's exactly right. Fellas, a couple minutes left here in the show. We would be remiss if we didn't spend it talking about the Cubbies and their world championship.
Would we, though?
We would be. And I got to say, I was not rooting for the Cubs in any way, shape, or form. I, in fact, was openly rooting against them, hoping to see them fail. But I must be honest. When they won and it was over, I found myself smiling and actually felt good.
Yeah.
Not so much for the Cubs, but for the fans.
For the Cub fans.
For the Cub fans. You can't help but be happy for these folks.
Well, you know, it's good for baseball.
It is.
You got to realize.
There's a new evil empire now.
Yeah. It's just evil empire.
Well,
it's true.
Well, if you're a Cardinal fan, I guess you could see
that. No, this is a national thing now.
Well, that could be. That could be. But it was good for baseball. And the thing of it is, very seldom does a team dominate a season from beginning to end. The Cubs were the best team in baseball this year, and they also won the World Series.
It doesn't happen very often.
It just doesn't happen very often. From day one, they were the best team on the field, and they won the World Series.
From the winter meetings last year, when everyone was in suits, everyone was picking the Cubs to win. Mm-hmm. Everyone was saying this is their championship to lose. And the pressure that goes with that is immense. And they went out, and they did it. And they found themselves, they were down 2-1 to the Dodgers in the LCS, one out.
Yeah.
Down 3-1 in the World Series to the Indians, one out. I mean, they proved their greatness over and over. And I think the most impressive thing to me was they never pitched a starter on short rest.
There you go. Pitching depth right there.
How do you win 103 games in the World
Series?
Pitching. Boom.
Pitching. Yes, you got to have the hitters, yes, but you got to have the pitching and the defense.
That's right. But I wonder if you put Cub fans on the old lie detector test. When Raji Davis took Chapman out, how many of them thought, we're okay, we got this? Probably not very many. How could you?
But well, certainly there were a few thoughts going.
A well-timed rain delay and the best $184 million speech in the history of the world given by Jason Hayward.
Yeah, I can't play baseball,
but that man can talk.
That rain delay was really helpful. It was the best thing for him.
It was. It was. And so congratulations to the Cubbies on their world championship. And now you just got to defend it.
Yeah.
See what happens.